Hey, this is Craig Dillstrom Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kalamazoo.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's right. Welcome back to another episode of the GSL Podcast. My name is Wendell. As you heard at the top of the episode, I am officially married. So to all the ladies, the single ladies that listen to the podcast, all maybe two or three of you, I'd say max. I'm sorry to say, but I'm officially off the market. Feels great to be back in the studio. Had a couple weeks off for the wedding and the honeymoon. Had a great time in Maui. Thanks to all those who sent me wishes and asking how it was. Got a ton of recaps and discussion to get to with the special guest, so I'm going to skip over the beginning and get right into the news. First off, just wanted to let everyone know for all the fans out there that can't come out to all the games but definitely want to come for the playoffs, because the playoffs are usually the most exciting time, and definitely want to get a huge turnout for that. The league has posted the playoff dates on the website. The times will be released obviously close to the date. But the quarterfinals will be on Sunday, September 10th. The semifinals will be on Sunday, September 17th. And the finals will be on Saturday, September 23rd. So this is kind of nice this year. The league ends on August 27th, so we're getting playoffs, all of them, in September. Usually the playoffs drag on into October, and it's a little bit too cold at that time, and the weather is so variable. So September is definitely better. Also, I can see here that the finals are booked for Centennial Stadium, which is probably the best venue to have the finals at. So really, really happy about that. And just make sure you mark it down your calendar so you're able to come.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
Our fan mail this week comes from Kyle Mikado, who says... Loving the podcast, man. Keep them coming. Thank you for the effort. First off, just want to say thanks to Kyle for that message. He continues with, I'm excited, bro. It's my first year back after three seasons. I just registered last night for Bugmalo. Kaya is my agent as well, and I'm getting Lavezzi money for returning. So a couple things to address here. First of all, huge news that the agent, DJ Kaya, has a client again, another client. I mean, I said in one of the earlier podcasts, I feel like this might be a trend. Players signing up with agents, extending their contracts, maybe getting some guaranteed minutes. So hopefully DJ Kaya is not able to get like a Jorge Mendez control of this league. And maybe some other agents will pop up. If you are an agent looking for your first client, or maybe you already have clients, email in for sure. And we can definitely dive into that more. Alright, let's get into some match recaps, but to do that, I've brought in a very special guest. Everyone, please welcome Jeremy Pinto from Colva. Jeremy, how's it going?
Hey, Wendell. It's going good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Just before we start, Jeremy, just to clarify, now, I had mentioned on a previous podcast that I thought maybe you were like a co-captain, or I wasn't exactly sure about your role on the team. Can you clarify for everyone? Are you the captain of Colva, or you're a co-captain, or are you just a player? What exactly is your role?
So I am the captain of Colva. I was kind of given the captain armband last season, midway through the season, but I was suspended for like the first half, four games. I'm not too sure if you knew about that, but myself and Aaron got red cards in the last playoff game for the season previous to that.
Oh, okay. And it was deemed a four-game suspension because you guys are in a fight or something like that?
Fight! It was a four-game suspension. Fight, I think it was talking back to the ref or something like that.
Okay.
So that's a story for another time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure we broke that story on the podcast. I got to fire the GSL insider for not bringing me that information. That would have been a great story to have. Yeah, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the show. As I said, we like to have people from other teams get some other perspectives. But another reason to have you in particular is Colva as a team has always been one of the more interactive teams with the podcast. I really have to give you guys credit. I find, you know, when it comes to shows, episodes, I'm always getting messages from Colva players or emails clarifying things or debating things or laughing about things. So Is this a known thing on the Colva team that you guys are all kind of listening to it behind the scenes, or do you have groups, or how exactly are you guys interacting with the podcast?
That's a funny question. So without throwing my teammates under the bus, which actually I'm going to do, everybody actually does love the podcast. We hate on it, but we bang on it. But in the end, it is good entertainment. It's fun to listen to it every Tuesday. And yeah, it's just good to hear about the league. So I would say all of us listen to the podcast for jokes reasons or for reasons of personal like, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. No, it is kind of just a way to get everyone updated, get everyone up to speed. I mean, we all love soccer. We all love the league. So that's kind of the point of it. And as I said, it works when everyone's getting involved. And that's why I have to give a huge thank you to you and your team for staying so involved. You know, last year we obviously had the ongoing beef with Jason Diaz, all the emails back and forth. I think everyone thought that was really entertaining. And this year we've had some emails from you. So it's good to have your guys' involvement. But let's move on. Let's get to some of these games. So as everyone knows, I've been away for a couple weekends. So we'll start off first with Lotolim versus Bugmalo. This was a 9-0 demolishing by Lotolim with goals from Keegan, Dane, Don Millen had two, Nicholas De Silva with two, Craig Raj with two, Ron with one, and Aaron Atwell with one. So, you know, I haven't personally played against Bugmalo this season yet. We did beat them, luckily, 4-0. We'll get to that later on. But I know that you guys have already played them and you demolished them as well, 5-0. So Bugmalo, this is a classic team. You know, they've had a lot of history in the league. They've come back now. This is a work in progress. They're going to have bad results like this, but 9-0. Can you point to anything you, in your opinion or Colva's opinion as to why Bugmalo is struggling and why they're suffering a lot of these blowout losses?
Well, I mean, like, in my opinion, when we played them, there were people like Alton wasn't there, so they were missing a couple people or key players. But I think it all comes down to their brand new team. No matter how you slice it, all the players on the team are relatively new. They're playing together again, even though Bugmalo was a established team before in the league. I mean, they're starting out again, so it's almost starting from scratch. Colva was there once before. I mean, I remember playing on the team when we were getting blown out just like them. So I think they just got to stick with it, and eventually they'll climb the ladders like everybody else does.
Yeah, I completely agree. You kind of have to go through the periods of just getting demolished. Even for us in Alden, I remember there was one year where we were losing, and I think we lost 8-1 to Aguada in one game, and it's just kind of growing pains, everyone getting used to each other. As far as Lotolim, you know, another dominant win for them. We're going to get into them a little bit more detail later on, so we'll skip that for now. Moving on to the next game, we had Aguada versus Dona Paula. Aguada winning 6-0 with goals from Cruyff Dos Remedios, Andrew Fernandez, Lester chipping in two, and Steven Fernandez chipping in two as well. So another blowout loss for Dona Paula. I think you would agree this is kind of a similar situation to Bugmalo, except in my opinion, I actually feel like they might be a couple years ahead. They are losing by lots of goals, but this is a team that has been together for a few years now. They're going through the growing pains. In my opinion, I think the key piece they're missing is just one strong leader, because I find them extremely disorganized. What are your thoughts on Dona Paula and what they can do to improve?
Yeah, so I somewhat agree and disagree with you. Agree with they obviously need leaders on the team, but what I disagree with you is I think the biggest part that they're struggling with this year is probably commitment. And the amount of players that are showing up for games. Yeah, they're a little bit further ahead as the amount of years that they've played, I guess in the past few years, compared to Bugmalo. But I mean, establishing that commitment, guys coming out to every game, knowing exactly who you're playing with on the field and off the field and all that type of stuff. I mean, they're almost starting like Bugmalo. I know when they played us, there's a couple guys on the team that just got signed that day. So I mean, you know, when you have that coming into a league like this, it's going to be relatively difficult to perform well.
Yeah, even for us, when we played them, I heard one player saying to like another player, like literally on the field, "What's your name? Oh, okay. Are you fast?" And the guy was like, "Yeah, kind of." And he's like, "Okay, why don't you go play winger?" Like, these aren't the questions you should be asking each other in the middle of a game.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, once they get that commitment there and people want to continuously go out and play with them, I think, like any other team, they'll get better.
So this actually brings up a good comment on commitment, because a lot of people were talking about, you know, Aguada back-to-back champions. They even mentioned in the post-game interviews how they haven't had a practice in like 4 years. And that I think is unique to Aguada in the sense that their team is comprised so much of people that are away on university or scholarships that just happen to all come back for playoffs. So they're usually a different team around that time. But what about Kolva? How do you guys run, you know, your week-to-week schedule? Is there one practice a week? Is it on a certain day? Do you demand commitment? Because, you know, some players, former players, have gone on record saying that they couldn't play with your team because they couldn't be committed to practices. So how does it work with you guys, your kind of schedule?
Yeah, so we have one practice a week. It happens every Tuesday. We tell the guys that it's mandatory. I mean, obviously there's commitment, other prior commitments that people may have, like work or whatever. It may be family stuff. I know a lot of the older guys, they're just having kids right now, so it's tough for them to come out. So, but we do try to get everybody out on a Tuesday. Commitment-wise, it's probably half the team that shows up. But to be honest with you, just getting everybody out, just trying to get people out at least once during the week helps. And then we want to make sure everybody is there an hour before the game. It's gone to like about 45 minutes, but we also have a little bit of penalties. If you do come late, there's a 3-strike system and you got to bring beer for the team if you get 3 strikes. So things like that, we try to get commitment there, but, like anything else, it's difficult for everybody, especially if you're in school, if you're working and all that type of stuff. That's essentially our routine for the week.
Okay, so we got to dive now way more into this 3-strike system. I'm sure everyone's dying to know about this. So for a little shadow behind the curtains, you know, for Aldana, we also have a penalty system. For us, it's actually half an hour before the game. So, I mean, our team really shouldn't be complaining. If you guys, it's 45 minutes. For us, you have to be there half an hour before ready to warm up. And if you're late, it's actually like a $2 fine. And if you're a repeat offender, it goes up to $5. So it can actually end up costing a lot of money. I think the worst player last year owed like $82 or something by the end of the year. But for you guys, it's a 3-strike system. So who's keeping track of this and monitoring that people are coming on time or late?
So obviously myself, but the real person behind the books is Ryan D'Souza, the goalie. So I guess after like the first or second game, when people were just showing up way too late for the game, Denzel was a real advocate for this. So we decided to put it in place. And to be honest with you, ever since then, everybody showed up pretty much on time within a 5-minute window or so. So it's been working. Yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, I didn't even actually think it was going to work because we all love to drink. So
yeah,
that 3-strike system, case of beer.
I mean, it's kind of ironic. Your penalty is buying beers for the whole team, which would probably actually hurt your team overall, I would say. So maybe... You know, it could be like buy Gatorade for the whole team or water, I don't know. But I mean, we all know it's a recreational league. And what's actually funny is Para, the dynasty that won, you know, the most titles ever, actually turns out they actually had a similar penalty system where if you came late for games or for the warm-up, you would actually be penalized. So they were one of the first teams to institute it. And obviously it worked really well for them. Okay, moving on. Also, we have two more games to run through from 2 weeks ago. So we had Margao versus Aldana with the website showing 0-0, which is actually incorrect because the score was 1-1. I'm not sure why the website's wrong with goals from Gavin for Margao and Byron for Aldana. So this for us, you know, heading into playing a team, Margao, that had been undefeated, won every game and hadn't conceded a goal. I was really happy with the tie. I know you're never supposed... It's a politically correct thing to say, you know, we want to win every game. You don't want to tie, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I try and be a little bit more realistic. Sometimes a tie is a win, especially if you're not at full strength, which we weren't, and you're playing such a talented team like Margao. So we were really happy with the tie there. And the last game to talk about, obviously, is your game. Kolva 1-0 versus Mopsa. With goal. Oh, look at that. Goal score for Kolva, Jeremy Pinto. So why don't you talk us through your goal and how it felt to get the winning goal in that game?
Oh, I didn't score. It was Nick. It should have been Nick.
Oh, well, this website is really
the website.
The website
I don't mind Jeremy being credit for the goal. Nick might get mad.
Okay, so tell us about Nick's goal then.
Yeah, it was an off a set piece actually from Oscar. I think it was just in their half. Oscar put in the ball, bounced around a few times in the 6 yard box, and then Nick ended up putting it away. It was a good goal at in the second half. So it was relatively an even game up to then. So no, we were very happy with it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, especially when it's a tight game like that, 1-0. It's always great to grind out a victory. So we'll talk about a little bit more of these teams in detail when we get to this last week. So starting off last week's games, we have Aguada versus Mopsa, with Aguada winning 6-1. A hat trick from Steven Fernandez and a hat trick from Matthew Pace, with the goal from Mopsa from Royce Raposo. So an easy win with Aguada. And this is the question I have for you, because I've always said about Aguada, they're a very talented team. They're always a contender, especially when their players come back for the playoffs and they're at full strength. They have good leadership with Croydon and Cruyff and just like unreal amounts of talent. My question for them is, I keep saying every year that we have to start taking Aguada seriously. They're a back-to-back champion. But yet, in my heart of hearts, I still can't bring myself to take them seriously. I don't know if it's because they're a younger team, or maybe I'm friends with a lot of people on the team, or they're just more inconsistent with who plays, but this is the back-to-back champion we're talking about. So what are your thoughts? Do you think Aguada is the real deal, that they deserve to be champions, or do you think it's just kind of a fluke happening with all the talent they have?
Well, there's no doubt about it. They definitely have huge amounts of talent on their team, and when they all come out, it's going to be hard to beat them. And they also have some grit in them as well. I mean, I think we've been unlucky in the past against them. I think last year we lost 1-0 in the playoffs, in the semifinals. But like I said, I mean, they grind out wins, so I can't really hack them for it. If they come out in the playoffs and they continue winning, they just continue winning, so they have a winning mentality. So I can't say it's luck, because they've done it repeated wins. So I don't know. We'll see again this year, though. I think we have a stronger team, and we have the potential to do a lot better.
Okay, yeah. And for Mopsa, I think, my brother and I talked in a previous podcast about them needing to find an identity. I think they have, they're one of the rare situations that has great structure and great leadership. It's more just, putting the pieces together and getting the job done. I'm not sure why they tend to break down in games and lose a lot of these games by many goals, like 6-1 versus Aguada. Honestly, it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what they can improve on. It might just be they have an extremely young team, so people getting older, or my brother's idea is that they need to branch off completely from Margo and get their own identity. How about you? What do you think the solution is for Mopsa?
I think they just have a lot of youth on their team, so they don't have that older talent there. I mean, we have a lot of youth on our team, but we have a core group of established old guys. old guys in quotations.
Yeah, they might make you, let's just say you might be buying the beer for the next game after that quote.
Yeah. Don't worry, they consider me as an old guy now, so it is what it is. I think once they start all growing up, getting a little bit older and more experienced, they'll be a good team in the league.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on, we have Lotulim versus Donapala. Lotulim winning 2-0. I think this is a game that most people would have predicted Lotulim was going to win, and actually by a blowout. So the fact that it was a close, tight game, 2-0, is huge for Donapala. As I said, my goal for Donapala last season was just not to get blown up, be more competitive. And some people kind of scoffed at that as being too low a goal, setting the bar too low. But in my opinion, you have to be realistic. You have to set attainable goals. Otherwise, if you're just saying our goal every year is to win the championship, well, 7 teams every year are not going to win the championship. So I think you need to set a realistic goal for them. And I think last year they did a great job of being more competitive. This year it seems to have slid back a little bit to bigger blowouts. But the good news is keeping it tight here versus Lotulim, a great team with 2 goals from Dane, but only losing 2-0. So for Lotulim, in my opinion, I think they'll win the regular season. I think they're always favorites to go to the finals. They have this curse on them ever since they stole the Bugmalo players and Bugmalo had to fold. And they've never been able to win a championship since then. So I think that's the only currently active curse in the GSL. But for you guys, when you guys play a good team like Lotulim, how do you strategize different? Is there anything differently you have to prepare versus them? Or is it more of we know our team, we know our strategy, and we're just going to come out here and do what we do?
I think this year is going to be a lot different than last year. I mean, for the first five games of the season, we haven't had our full team out there. So, I mean, we haven't been able to really, you know, put the pieces where we want to be putting them. We don't have our starting lineup. So I guess both of them will have a couple people back, which will be good. To be honest with you, I think we're just going to continue using our strategy, same formation, same everything, and just play hard.
Perfect. Yeah, so you guys are playing them this weekend.
Yeah, next game. It's going to be probably one of the biggest games for our season.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's definitely kind of a heat check to see how you guys are doing and how you stack up against one of the best teams in the league, if not the best.
For sure.
So moving on, we have Bugmalo versus Aldana, with Aldana winning 4-0 with goals from Sean Menezes, Nicholas Roach, Garrick Nazrin, and Byron again. Byron chipping in a few goals this year already. So a comfortable win for Aldana against Bugmalo. You know, everyone says like, oh, Bugmalo's been losing to everyone, so you should be beating them. But hey, these are the games that you need to win. These are the points that you need to put on the board, because all the top teams are doing it. And as we know, last year between us and you, it came down to a 1-point differential, and because you guys won your last game of the season. Otherwise, you know, the whole table could have been flipped. We could have finished third. You guys could have finished as low as fifth or sixth. So these points definitely matter. These goals matter. I think we've talked about both of those teams enough, so we'll move on to the last game, which was Kolva against Marga, with Kolva winning 1-0. And yep, that's right. You're hearing it. The upset alarm going on in the background. This is our first upset alarm of the whole season so far. And that's because, I mean, I'm not sure about you. Maybe you're more confident in your team, but I never would have predicted Marga to lose this game. Maybe a tie, maybe. But a huge win for Kolva, 1-0. And here it says the goal was Nick. So Nikhil.
Yeah. So that's correct. I got the last one confused. I forgot that you're recapping 2 weeks of games. So my last goal was a header off a cross. Okay. This goal was Nick's goal off of Oscar's free kick set piece.
So we trashed the on the website for no reason. They're actually doing it right. They're actually doing it correctly.
They are. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, this is a huge upset. And now this comes down to the fundamental question about Kolva that I'm going to address to you. I have said on record that Kolva is a team that previously was a lot of older veterans that were very talented but couldn't keep up. They were always competitive. They were always going to be a mid-table team, and they always pretty much lose in the quarterfinals. Then they had this resurgence of youth joining the team, and then they became this team that had like young undisciplined players, older veteran players, weren't really meshing, once again middle of the table, once again losing the quarterfinals. Last year, I felt like, was a breakout year for Kolva. You guys have this triangle in the middle of Aaron, Gavin, and Johnny Van Dreen that was just like unbelievable. I think it was the most exciting young triangle midfield I've seen in the GSL in God knows how long. You guys did very well, finished third. I was really disappointed at your showing in the semifinals versus Aguada. As you said, you felt like you could have done better. I really feel like you guys could have maybe put up more of a fight there. I just felt like it was kind of like a lackluster 1-0 win for Aguada. I would have loved to see you guys fight a little bit harder, but, you know, these things take time. So now we come to this year. This is supposed to be the year, you know, if you break through last year, this year's all about continued success. So having a result like this against Margot is huge, is a big statement. You have Lotulam next week. What are your goals for the season for Kolva this year? You're the captain. What do you tell your team? What are you guys talking about? What is the goal for this season?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say the three main goals of our team would be, one, to place top three in the league again, so that we're not, we're doing the same, if not better, than last year. Second goal would be to make it to the finals. As Kolva, we've never done that in our history of being alive in the GSL. So making the finals would be huge, and getting that shot at the championship. But above all else, I think a main goal that we have is still establishing our team, building that team camaraderie, that team chemistry, and that's on and off the field. I think one of our biggest highlights of last year was all going out to a club for a couple guys' birthdays, one being Johnny's birthday. We tried to get everybody out. We all had a good time, people were drinking, and I think that's translating on the field as well. So just establishing us as a team and building that team camaraderie is a major goal.
Yeah, so that's perfect. I agree completely. I mean, the team camaraderie is something internally between you guys. That's for you guys to figure out. That's great if that's what you guys are trying to do. I kind of love that family aspect as well. But the other two goals is exactly what I would have said. Maintain success, so keep that top three finish and get to the finals. Last year I said the goal for Kolva should be to make a finals, because you guys have been knocking on the door. You even finished first place a few years ago, but Kolva has not been the finals. This is not a name we talk about in the GSL finals. Now, for us, Alden, we have similar goals to you. For us, you know, we finished second, and then we kind of went down to fourth. But we're also, you know, top three finish would be perfect for us as well, and also making it to the finals. I played in the finals once, but that was 10 years ago now, so it's been a long time since we made the finals. So I feel like our teams and our goals are pretty much right in sync right now, and I think it's going to be kind of a battle to see who can get there first.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the difference between us and you kind of explained the progression of our team, and I think you did a decent job of doing that. But like before, all of these guys, Aaron, Johnny, all of those guys, they were quite young, and there was a big gap between the young guys and the older guys. But now that they're older, they're in university, some are graduated university, they have more experience behind them, and they're doing a good job on and off the field. I know Aaron, he's been injured for the last three games, but he's been doing well, coming out to practices, coaching us, and giving us his experience from his other leagues, coaching us off the field as well during games. So, I mean, everybody's been doing their part, even if they're injured or they're away. So we're missing Johnny as well for the whole summer until playoffs. He's also doing a co-op term. So we've added a few good additions too. Probably one of the youngest people in the league is Noah. He's 15 years old, turning 16 this year, and he's been doing a really good job as well on the wing. And a lot of people have come up to us and said how amazing actually he's been playing. And he's Johnny's youngest brother too. So, I mean, we're just adding really good additions to our team. We're doing a really good job, and it's showing.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. Developing young talent is always crucial to the longevity of every team. It helps when you have, you know, the Van Dreen family that seems to just be pumping out all-stars at this point. Make sure you keep a lock on those guys. You know teams are going to be coming poaching for them in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have a trouble keeping our guys. We show them partying, and that's enough for them to stay.
Exactly. Everyone wants in on those Kolva party and those Kolva barbecues after the game.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's it for match recaps. Let's move into match predictions. So first up this weekend, we have Marga versus Donna Paula. So we'll just fly through these real quickly. I'm just going to say what I think the result and score will be. I think Marga is going to win this one. I'll say 4-0. How about you, Jeremy?
Sorry, that was who?
Marga versus Donna Paula.
Marga versus Donna Paula. I'll go 3-0, Marga.
Okay, next up we have Bugmalo versus Mopsa. This is a huge game now. This is like Bugmalo, you know, they've been losing. That's fine. We've been saying they need to develop. Enough's enough. Like, this is Bugmalo versus Mopsa. These are the games you have to win. I really want Bugmalo to step up and win this one, but at the same time, I think Mopsa really wants to win this one too. So I think they're going to cancel each other out. I'll go for a tie 1-1.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I'm going to go tie 0-0 actually.
Okay, next up we have Kolva versus Lotlim. I know you guys just had a huge upset against Margao, but I think Lotlim is a different beast in the regular season. I'm going to predict Lotlim to win 2-1.
Okay, I can't bet against my team, but I'm going to go 2-0 us.
Oh, wow, confident. I like it. Not even 1-0, yeah. Just like 2-0. Just make it official.
No, I just have a good feeling about this game.
Okay, hey, you got to go with your gut. And last up, I mean, I can't predict against, you know, all of the guys get on me every time, like, oh, you predicted us to lose. It's like, yeah, okay, everyone knows that I think we're going to win every game, but you have to be objective with things, you know. Sometimes you just have to say. For you, it's easy, you're here one time, but I can't say every single weekend Alden is going to win. I mean, but that being said, we have Alden versus Aguada, and I'm actually going to predict Alden to win.
Okay.
I think kind of similar to your feeling. I just feel like this is a huge game for us. We've been having really good results. We're actually undefeated so far. Not all victories, some of them ties. This is a big, big test. I think we're going to come through. I think it's going to be 2-1 for Aldana.
Okay, I'm going to go with a 1-1 tie. I don't know. You guys tie a lot, so.
one of our teammates said we're undefeated, and another guy said, yeah, but we're Manchester United undefeated. All we do is tie everyone.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to go 1-1 tie.
Perfect. All right, that concludes this episode of the GSL Podcast. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on board.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it was a little bit longer at 30 minutes, but that's because I was away for 2 weeks and there was tons of stuff to get into. And a great discussion with Jeremy from Kolva. Would love to have some people from some other teams come on. So if you want to be a guest representing either yourself or the team or just want to come chat, email me, thegslpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get you on the show. And until then, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.